Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'll tell you what, Mason, you know this movie came out in 2003. I'm going to give you three big top reasons. Three big top reasons this movie came out in 2003. Welcome to Caravan of Garbage. Leave a like. Nanomites.
Nanomeds, James.
Sorry. You know, it was all nanotechnology,
wasn't it? Yeah.
It was like, what if a nanomite rebuilt a whatever? What if a nanomite was a virus?
Well, again, we're in that era. We're in that X-Men, the first run of X-Men movies era, where nobody could quite commit to the concept of we're taking comic books, we're taking them to the big screen.
Yeah.
You can't just go, we're talking about Hulk, by the way, Hulk 2003.
Oh, do you think maybe they might know that from the title and thumbnail, Mason?
No, some people disassociate in the first 5 seconds.
All right, then.
But they can't just go, he was hit by a gamma bomb explosion.
Yeah.
And now he's the Hulk. They had to go, okay, well, there's nanomeds, and then there's a gamma exposure, and then he was experimented on as a child,
A starfish was cut up. That's part of it, probably.
Yeah, he's actually, Bruce Banner's father actually wants to achieve regeneration and therefore immortality, mostly through harvesting starfish milk. He wants to milk a bunch of starfish, because that's where the power of immortality is. But you're right, number one, nanomeds. You're right, nanomeds.
Should I leave that bit of where your voice went bizarre?
Yes, what happened there?
Number two, extended comic book opening sequence.
Oh, my God.
But I guess this one, like you mentioned, it tells a story. It's like, what kind of animals is this guy milking?
Starfish, mostly, and also dogs and that. Raccoons, is there a raccoon in there?
I don't remember.
Maybe, but yeah, the excessively long flying through DNA / doing science intro, as was the style of the time, i.e. the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. But this one has the addition of, like, that comic book font, so you know.
I realized also I didn't have a third thing. But I guess the third thing in this era is, like, still feeling out what a comic book movie
is. Yes, that's right.
You know, they were still taking a swing at, like, how do we put characters like this on screen? And with this direction, it was like, we get the guy from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Terrific, Eric Banner.
Eric Banner, that's right. Terrific choice, by the way, Ang Lee. I think that's as good as you're going to get at this era, right? And also, you know, it's a character that in the comics, you could do a deep, dark kind of exploration of this character's psyche and, you know, find out who he was and who he's going to be and whatever and what makes him tick. But none of this works for me. And I couldn't figure out why.
Interesting, okay.
Until I did figure out why.
Oh, okay. You're not going to save that till the end?
No, I'll do it now.
Okay,
so,
great.
So, you know how you don't like the idea of, in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy, that it's the decades, like 50 years of, not even at that point. It was like 40 years of Spider-Man history, like crammed into one movie, the first one in particular.
That's right.
But it was mostly the misery, you know?
Yeah, so it sort of changes the thrust of the character. It changes the direction of the character, Spider-Man specifically, from like a happy-go-lucky kind of hard luck superhero who occasionally has something tragic happen to him, to a superhero whose tragedy is his absolute bread and butter. It happens to him all the time. So it sort of, it changes the characterization of that hero. And you're saying a similar thing happens with the Hulk here.
Yeah, I think they lean too much into just trauma. Just straight up, this guy's tortured, this guy. It's just all trauma all the way down. You cut the surface of this guy's brain in any which way.
Starfish blood comes out. I think you're probably right in the sense that for many...
There's an element of it I should point out as well. Of course it is, right?
But a criticism that I had of this Hulk at the time was that the idea of the Hulk's identities being the result of sort of childhood abuse and trauma was a fairly recent addition to his characterization in the comic books. Whereas, you know, for the decades prior, it was just he got hit by some gamma radiation and now he smashes stuff. And
he hates it.
And it felt to me like, at the time, it felt to me like, well, maybe in a sequel we could address that trauma and abuse, and that's some very heavy stuff. But I would like, in the first movie, maybe I would just like to see a fun movie where he smashes helicopters and tanks and everyone shoots at him and et cetera. And
we get that, don't we?
We certainly, you know what, I tell you what, James, I didn't like this at the time.
Yep.
But upon a rewatch, I liked it a lot.
There's some good stuff in it.
I'll tell you some good stuff about it, James.
Okay. Well,
firstly, it's got that same aesthetic as the Raimi Spider-Man movies. This is a negative. Which, when nothing looks sort of truly real or lived in.
Yeah, okay.
Like offices are sort of like
the weird military complex with a weird elevator in it.
Yeah, like nothing looks kind of like... That's the aesthetic they sort of mastered in the MCU movies, where everything does look like...
Yeah, and The Dark Knight and...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It is on purpose. It's a comic book come to life. We're not, you know, it's
literally you're in a lot of this.
Yes, you're looking at this comic book universe. You've translated it to live action. It doesn't have to have every single real life detail attached to it. Mm. And so, you know, I go back and forth on whether that's a perfect encapsulation of a comic book or it annoys me, but.
Mm.
I love the scene transitions in this.
I like some of them.
Well,
this is Transition City, mate.
I know. I didn't like the one where the Hulk's arch nemesis Glenn is destroyed. Glenn is destroyed by the hand grenade. That one's a little bit goofy. But I liked a lot of the kind of the... We're looking at multiple characters and they're appearing in multiple panels and there's characters on the phone and there's helicopters, you know, trucking across the desert.
See,
and all sorts
I
of
think
stuff.
It's, I like the idea of it, like kind of this panel work mm-hmm. kind of put into a film. Like, I understand it. I get the choice. I understand the aesthetic, but I think it's just, it's done so much and I don't really think it adds too much when you're like, you see somebody standing somewhere and then you see them from a slightly different angle at the same time. And what is the point of this?
You know what? There's a couple of those that don't work. There's a scene where Sam Elliott's Thunderbolt Ross is talking to his daughter, played by...
Liv Tyler.
No, wrong one. The lady from Labyrinth.
Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly, thank you. That's the most current reference I have. The lady from Labyrinth. Not Top Gun Maverick.
No, one of the
highest grossing movies of all time. There's a scene where they're just having a conversation and some of the cuts are oddly jarring, but I think a lot of it totally works.
I think, though, the fact that we haven't ever really gone back to that proves to me that this is not something that's done effectively in this movie. I think it can be done,
okay,
but I don't think this nails it.
Here's the thing. I felt more thrilled about a lot of the scene transitions in this movie than I do about a lot of visuals in current day MCU movies.
Yeah, there's some really
fun choices.
I'm
like, give us some more
choices.
Of those. And there's some wonderful shots of, you know, the Hulk and he's jumping, you know, through some rocky canyons or what have you. And they look incredible.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. I completely agree. But apparently there were moments like there's an exchange between Eric Banner and Sam Elliott. And they did 150 takes just to get full coverage of this entire thing.
Yeah, right.
And I just think in a scenario like that, where it's a man with a mustache talking to a man without a mustache, maybe you don't need to do that.
Yeah, that's some very...
That's Kubrick breaking
Kubrick.
A person.
That's right. Yeah. That's extremely Kubrick. Another thing that I really like that I don't think I appreciated at the time, in addition to those scene transitions, there were some very incredible Hulk TV series visuals.
Yeah.
Just a lot of sudden, like, negative shots.
Yeah.
Where somebody's just, like, biting an electrical cable and all of a sudden the shot goes to black and white and then green and purple and negative. And I'm like, oof, that's some good stuff. That's solid the 70s / the 80s. That was good fun.
Oh, there's a few references to the 70s show. For one, Lou Ferrigno is actually in this with Stan Lee. His father is named David Banner, which is not in the comics, but of course, we've talked about that series before. He's David Banner in that Hulk series instead of Bruce Banner.
Mm.
I also thought getting Eric Banner was a great choice. I mean, he was pretty unknown for the time.
Sounds pretty similar to the name.
That's exactly right. Mm. And apparently he also said the mood on set during shooting was ridiculously serious and morbid. And director Ang Lee explained to him that he was shooting a superhero tragedy and that they would be making a whole other movie about the Hulk without him. And I think one of the reasons that this movie falls down with some of the Hulk stuff is because there is a huge disconnect between the nerd who shows up in the bike helmet, who he just feels like a blank-faced mannequin man. And I love Eric Banner. And then it's like a guy who's...
He was Poyter.
That's right. And then it's a guy who's...
Everybody look up Poyter. He was Ray Martin.
I remember when he was Ray Martin. I remember all of this, Mason. So there's that, and then there's moments where he's like, I'm not very angry, and then he's like, I'm mad! And then he's the Hulk. And I just think all of these things, they don't feel like one person, you know?
No, I think you're right. And I think, again, you know, I enjoy Eric Banner's work in pretty much everything, but I think he was kind of pitched... There's a line in it, I think, where Nick Nolte, as his father, says of Bruce, he's unique, that's why you can't relate to him. And I remember thinking... That's probably not the best archetype of character to base a franchise around when you think about it. A guy you can't relate to.
Yeah.
Like he did feel, and I understand that the point of this character is that he was meant to be kind of unrelatable and kind of aloof.
He couldn't keep a relationship and...
Yeah, but maybe don't do that. That's what I'm saying.
Make a guy we like on
some level. Yeah. But again, he felt, you know, I feel the dilemma here is you want a character who seems distant to those around him, but we can tell has a full inner life and we like him.
Yes, and I think that's what's missing
in
this movie. I think you absolutely nailed that on the head, Mason, if you don't mind me giving you a compliment for once.
I'll take one.
Anyways, you know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
Hulk stats! Yeah. Here's some Hulk stats, Mason.
Oh, okay, cool.
I want to talk about the look and how he moves and all of that. But this is a good warm-up, just doing Hulk stats.
Hulk stats!
So he weighs 3,452 pounds. That's about 1,500 kilograms.
That's very specific.
For those people who like, you know, using the proper system of measurement. His skin is 10 times as strong as Kevlar.
Ooh.
I don't know who that is, but he sounds very strong, whoever this
Kevlar. I think that's one of Eric Banner's characters, Kevlar.
His feet are...
Full Frontal, James.
Yes, I know
the
Full Frontal.
The sketch comedy TV series Full Frontal.
It could have also been from his own TV show, the Eric Banner Experience, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
His feet are 4 feet and 3 inches, as in 1.3 meters. Mm-hmm. So if he wore shoes, that would be a US size 87.
Ooh.
That's right. He can move at a top speed of 300 miles or 483 kilometers per hour and cross 3 to 4 miles or 4.8 to 6.4 kilometers in a single jump. But I think...
How'd you get these figures?
Internet Movie Database.
Okay, great. So they could be entirely made
up. No, it's all like behind the scenes stuff as well.
Yeah, right. It's interesting that they went with that. I feel like there are a lot of superhero movies where they go, you know what, he's strong as he needs to be and he's fast as he needs to be.
Yes.
And he's whatever size, it doesn't matter. If we need to make him smaller in a particular scene or bigger, whatever, just do it, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But I think also... You can definitely see the limitations of the technology in bringing this character to life. Speaking of, I've got a video on how the Hulk's evolved over time, like how he changes and whatever. I'll link it below if it's finished. I don't know. But I think...
Am I on that?
Were you in the video?
Yes.
No.
Huh.
Do you want to be in it?
Have you recorded already?
Yes.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I can put a picture in.
Yeah, thanks.
Or Matt can put a picture of
you
if you want. Yeah. But I think also... And they scale him down for the next one, which we'll talk about next week. He's too big and he feels too wide, especially in the head. He looks like a gujitsu.
I feel like perhaps Ang Lee was going for more of a King Kong kind of sizing, because there is a moment where he lifts Betty up and like puts her in a car or something like that, and he does feel like just an enormous gorilla character, and I think he is too big. That being said...
He also gets bigger as the movie goes on.
He does, because he gets angrier. I feel a lot of the effects in this, even though they're not perfect.
Yeah,
they still hold up.
Yeah, I agree.
Like there's moments where he gets hit with gamma radiation. He gets hit with the gamma radiation, but there's a moment where he goes through a bunch of sprinklers and like
the water coming off him.
That looks really good. And there's a moment where he's been burrowing through the streets of San Francisco. He comes up and he's covered in oil and grime or what have you. That looks good.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think this is maybe a testament to not overworking every visual effects production house in the world until they can't do good work anymore.
Is that a particular comment on anything that's happening at the moment?
No, it's just a random observation.
Just bouncing around in your head.
Yeah.
I agree with all of that, but I also think that he doesn't look enough like Eric Banner.
No, that's true.
And he doesn't move like Eric Banner because Ang Lee did most of the motion capture for this.
Yeah.
And I talk about this in that video that you're not in. Mm. But I think that's a mistake, getting a guy who's not proportioned to like this and recording his movements and then translating it to something who looks like the aspect ratio on your TV is wrong.
Right,
you know, I think I think now, obviously, you wouldn't do it this way because it doesn't quite gel. Like, some of the movements and some of the running don't befit something that is of this size and proportion.
Well, I think that's interesting, but I also think two things. Probably one, now they've just perfected that through an increase and an advancement in the technology. They can make the Hulk look exactly like Mark Ruffalo because they've had two other iterations to kind of burn through and perfect that. And also, I wonder if at the time, perhaps Ang Lee wouldn't have expected Eric Banner to do any of that motion capture, because only he knew, perhaps felt how he knew and wanted the character to move.
I guess you're right in that they'd never.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Really built a character like this before. They'd obviously dabbled in, you know, CGI people here and there. But having something front and center using this technology, it hadn't really been done. Like, we'd obviously got bits of it in, like, The Terminator, and we've seen CGI creatures and whatever that Final Fantasy movie was where they made Ben Affleck in it.
Yes, that's right.
But, yeah, I think you're right, yeah, where he kind of, he did the bit where he'd, like, he'd smash his hands on the ground and then turn green, and then Eric Bana would go home, presumably.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, maybe that's, you know, a function of Ang Lee is more of an auteur than perhaps, like, a current crop of superhero movie directors who
like
just,
a gun for hire.
Yes, like a gun
for hire. Which is not a, James Gunn's not really a gun for hire.
No, that's true. No. Yeah. But just like he knows what he wants and he's going to make that happen. Whereas I think maybe like a, you know, a present day director would just be like, well, if he's the Hulk, get him to the Hulk stuff.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
When you come to a project now, like a superhero project, a lot of those decisions about how that stuff is made and what that thing looks like is already done for you.
That's true.
Either because the studio designs it, and you show up on the day, you know, and just go action, I guess. But you know, if you're doing a Hulk movie or show, you've got
action, I guess. Oh, it's all right. We already filmed it. You don't really need to be here. We filmed all the. You're just here to field all the questions in interviews about continuity. So I don't need you to film anything.
Yeah, but like if you're doing a Hulk movie or project. Mm-hmm. You've got the Hulk already.
Yes.
Your creative choices and about what that looks like and how it's done have been decided for you.
That's true.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Nick Nolte's in it.
Oh, actually, before we do that, I'm just going to say, also, I forgot he's rubbery. Like
Hulk's rubbery?
The Hulk's rubbery. Like, right. I guess they needed... Again, it's one of those choices of like, well, we need to translate this to real life. And how is it the Hulk can... How is it the Hulk that bullets bounce off the Hulk? And how is it he can jump so high? Ah, he must be rubbery.
Yeah.
Like these days, it'd just be like, he can just jump because he's strong.
Yeah, he's got big muscles.
He's got big muscles, but in this, he's rubbery.
Yeah, I'm the director. I'm here to field the questions. How does he jump? Ah, he's strong. I don't know. Fuck off. Get out of here. Anyway, Nick Nolte is Absorbing Man.
Mm.
You might have recognized this, but you know the infamous Nick Nolte mugshot?
Yes.
That was taken during the filming of this, hence like the long scraggly hair.
Oh, okay.
So he grew that for this movie, and now in that mugshot, he looks insane.
Sure, yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. Anyway, I want to get back to like the finale and how they use the Absorbing Man.
Okay, great.
And they have since in other mediums, but... Mm.
In the comic book universe, his name is Crusher Creel, I think.
Yes. He was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something, wasn't he?
I think he was.
Anyway, Hulk dogs turn up and he punches one in the balls.
I have written that. He hits one of those Hulk dogs right in their dog nuts.
Yeah.
So I guess... This is why this partnership works so well together, James. We're always on the same page.
We're always finishing each other's thoughts about
dog nuts.
Punching someone in the dog nuts.
We finish each other's dog nuts.
I think, as mentioned, like... I think the action sequences are good, as in, like, they're clearly well thought out. Mm-hmm. It's clearly, like, you do one in the dark at the start where he busts out and he's kind of moving through the scientific facility. You do the Hulk dog nuts fight.
Mm.
You do the one in the desert where it's open and bright and it moves out of a facility into the desert and into the city. But I don't think there's enough in this to show that he's heroic or anything other than a force of nature. I think it's important to show more of he is a force for good.
Yeah, right.
Whereas every kind of scenario that he's in, like, you know, he'll save a pilot occasionally. But he's mostly just like, ha! And then, like, running.
What about that time he shook those soldiers out of that tank before he used the tank to kill another man?
I just thought, like, he looked like he was just having fun.
Also, I think there was a huge mistake having his first transformation not be while he's being accosted by some truckers outside a bar.
Oh,
I think that's a classic... Yeah. Bruce Banner turns into a Hulk and beats up a bunch of people.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I feel there was a missed opportunity there, whereas in this he just gets anxious in his lab.
Yeah.
And he smashes some stuff.
He certainly does, doesn't he? Shit finale, though. I mean...
Yeah, I've got a note here. It says endings are hard, aren't they?
They certainly are.
Just as endings are hard.
I mean, I love the moment where they, for some reason, let Nick Nolte get close to him, and Nick Nolte just goes off chops, mate.
Mm.
And it's interesting because before he goes in there, General Ross is like, if Eric Banner so much as twitches, just shoot him in the head or whatever.
Now send in the guy that's guaranteed to make him twitch.
Yeah, and he goes in and they're just doing a little stage play together.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and he bites into the electricity, and I think that's fun. You know, and watching him kind of morph into whatever the thing is he's touching, his electricity, his rocks, his water.
That's some great effects, I think.
But then
for
he's
the most part.
Then he's a big cloud with a, big with cloud, a movie showing inside.
I'm thinking mostly of the point where he absorbs a chair, I think, and the paint turns his hand blue. And
you see him move his hand
across the chair. He's kind of melding into it, T-1000 style. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like that, but I'm saying like it ends with, you want energy? Here's too much energy.
Yeah.
Too much energy.
I have a note here that just says, oh, I forgot about the Hulk's dad plot line.
Yeah.
Because again, like, I feel it ends pretty satisfactorily when he rampages across San Francisco and then he's lulled back to human form by the power of love.
Yep.
Of the lady from Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh no, I forgot there's more of this. This is Yeah, but I think we could have cut out most of the dad plot and put it into a sequel.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it does of course also end in the jungle where Eric Bana has a big fake beard and he's like, I'm doing good work.
You don't
in
think
the jungle.
That's a real beard?
No.
Wow.
Mason, don't be
I think it's accurately coloured, though.
Don't be naive. I don't think it is. I think he'd have a darker beard. In addition to that, he has a frog on his hat, and I enjoy that.
Sure, yeah.
Probably means something. Metamorphosis?
Well, I mean, there was frog. I mean, he blew up that frog earlier.
Yeah, he did.
So maybe
he?
This is him making amends and being truly heroic by making that frog his friend.
Yeah, you might be right.
Overall, what did you think of this?
It's interesting.
Yes.
But it's not great.
Okay.
I think a lot of the choices, I think like you, I didn't like it at the time at all. But revisiting it and again, like on that video, looking behind how it was made and the choices behind that and how they were going to go with an animatronic and all of these other things. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the ideas that they're going for. And I also feel like you couldn't really make something like this now because it's too
woke.
obviously, Mason, someone would find something woke about it and have a big cry. But I think it's probably too cerebral for a property that you need to make $500 million with.
Yeah, right. Look, for some of this rewatch, I appreciated the slow burn of it.
Yeah.
But then for some of the rest of it, I'm like, oh, good, just a scene where, like, Bruce is floating in a tank and everybody just silently watches him on a monitor for a really long time.
That's good, isn't it?
Keep it moving. Some of this could be cut out. But I overall have a much more positive experience of this movie than when I saw it in cinemas.
I will also say this, Mason. I love the Danny Elfman score. I think from the opening of this, it really feels, Mason, like a comic book score.
Oh, yes.
You know, it makes me feel like I'm watching The Hulk, the movie, 2003.
Nailed it, Danny Elfman. You've done it again.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for Green Trivia.
Oh.
I just want to specify as well, this isn't called Green Trivia because it's Hulk-related. Mm. I already did this
Out of spite.
It's pure coincidence. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think that this is some kind of section that I've catered specifically to this video.
Yeah, what happened is somebody said, can you please stop calling it Green Trivia? And if there's one thing I know is don't tell James to stop doing something because he will never stop doing it.
Correct.
And vice versa.
Anyway, Billy Crudup very nearly took on the role, but he jumped out like a big rubbery Hulk man.
Ooh.
Tom Cruise was offered, and then they looked at Steve Buscemi, David Duchovny, and Jeff Goldblum. They all screen tested, and Edward Norton was even approached.
Interesting.
Maybe we'll come back and talk about an Edward Norton Hulk film next week, Mason.
Ooh.
Nick Nolte, David Banner, used an oxygen tank throughout the production. Eric Banner recalled a moment where, after taking a hit of oxygen on set, Nolte turned to Banner and confided, I don't really need this. It just makes them think you're fucking crazy and they pay attention.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just doing weird Hollywood acting.
There is
stuff.
A moment in the movie where he
takes a hit of something, doesn't
hit of something, and then he switches on the gamma rays.
Yeah,
so
that's good stuff.
Okay.
The working title for this movie was actually Blue Harvest, which was weird because that was also the working title of the original Star Wars.
Interesting.
I checked to see whether those things are related. It's actually not.
Huh.
Pure coincidence. I think they would have gone with Green Harvest.
That's right.
But, you know. Lou Ferrigno, Stan Lee, yes, we saw them. During production of this in San Francisco, California. Yes, thank you. Home of the Raisins. Filming stopped for about 2 hours because some college students from UC Berkeley played a prank and systematically urinated in porta potties, creating very loud peeing sounds that distracted the cast members on set. It took about 2 hours to round up all the students.
Wow.
I don't know what that is. No. I just saw it and I went, all right, I'll read that out.
Okay. Where are they now is the question. One of those students, Kevin Feige.
One of those other students, crippled by debt for life.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Makes you think.
There is actually a sequel to this movie, and I'm not talking about the next movie, Mason.
Yes, go on.
The next movie that was made after this in 2003.
Mm. Does this one count as part of the MCU, I wonder?
Absolutely not, Mason. Okay. Absolutely not. So the Hulk tie-in video game for this that came out in 2003 is set after this. Eric Banner reprises his role as Eric Banner. And that also got a sequel in Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which is a game we've played, of course, So that...
And probably many others also.
Agreed. So I didn't know that, but that's a trilogy of something?
Sure is,
If you look at it. So Eric Banner was also asked if he was willing to play Eric Banner again. Bruce Banner, I'm going to stop doing that, because people will be like, are you actually saying it wrong? You're actually saying Eric Banner twice? If he would do that alongside Mark Ruffalo in the MCU.
Sure, but some sort of multiversal Secret Wars kind of situation.
Exactly, but Eric Banner...
He's like, I'm too busy driving around in a Monaro, he said.
Yeah, that's right. I'm too busy hanging out with Jay Leno when we talk about cars. Mm-hmm. Eric Banner...
I'm too busy uncovering the secrets of a quiet Australian town. You think it's perfect on the outside, but then there's a murder, probably.
I'm too busy doing one of the adaptations of Time Traveler's Wife with Rachel McAdam.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't watch the new series, but I know they cancelled it before they wrapped up the story, Mason. He's talking to you.
I'm too busy doing Poiter in my own home, just pretending to be Poiter.
Banner responded, the short answer is no. I never felt like it was something I was going to reprise or do again, and I still feel, even after all this time, I can't see that happening. I would say never, though, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, box office for this, Mason, it cost... $137 million. That does not include a 30-second Super Bowl commercial from that year, which cost Universal $2.1
million. Oh.
It only made, of course, $245 million at the box office. This apparently also has a historic second weekend U.S. box office drop.
Uh-oh.
So it opened at number one and then dropped around 70% in its second week. That was... astronomical for the time. Presumably word got around that it was had weird transitions and it was a bit sad at times.
Sure.
People were looking for Daredevil and they got this, you know. So, but that, of course, has been beat out by other movies since, including Dark Phoenix, which is one of our favourite movies to not think about. But that's not the only reason the studio feels this didn't do well. So weeks before this film's release, a New Jersey man named Kenny Gonzalez acquired a copy of its work print from a friend of an ad agency employee and it leaked online.
Oh no.
As it contains temp music, unfinished CGI, unedited audio and the like, those able to see the leaked work print heavily criticized the movie's incomplete vision.
Goodness.
Some studio executives subsequently blamed the movie's box office failure on the leak. He did 3 years in prison for doing that as well, for leaking the Hulk. I don't think that's why this didn't do well, though, to be honest. I was around at this time, and I was very much on the internet too much, like I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember.
I don't remember that at all.
This being leaked, because if I'd have known that, I would have definitely stolen it at the time.
Sure, yeah.
And I did not. Uh-huh. Anyways, next week, if you do want to see us talk about The Incredible Hulk... the real Hulk movie, maybe.
Ooh.
Is it? I don't know. You can actually head over to BigSandwich.co where there's early stuff and bonus stuff and whatever, whatever, et cetera, and so forth. Or check out our podcast, The Weekly Planet, if you like podcasts, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Is there ever a hot topic that we don't cover in entertainment news, Mason?
Yeah, probably if we think maybe like the backlash will be too... You know, we'll have to deal with that.
Oh, okay,
Probably skip over it, you know.
Like we'd have to deal with a bunch of incels, et cetera, and
so forth. Yeah. Just
that's terrible. Not a shot at anybody watching this who's an incel. We're not talking about you. We're talking about a Mason.
Uh-oh. And folks, if you want to continue the Eric Banner superhero trilogy, you can, of course, watch 2000's Chopper, where he portrays real-life criminal Mark Chopper Reed.
Very good.
Or the iconic Australian movie, The Castle, where he plays Con Petropolis.
True.
If you want to know why Australians are like they are, watch The Castle.
Yeah. You won't get it.
No.
But it's great. No. All right, thanks, everybody.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
And goodbye. Oh, the dog's here, Mason.
Hello, dog.
Do you have any opinions on Eric Banner's Hulk? Just a big sneeze, huh?
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.